Everyone is familiar with the Energizer Bunny ads that have been around for about 25 years or so. And because somehow or another, he keeps going and going and going. And it's quite clever as a sales strategy and marketing tool because practically everyone now associates batteries with the Energizer Bunny. Well, this morning we're going to transfer the association of boundless energy to the power of the gospel to turn us into energized believers. That's what we're going to see here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And hopefully by the end of our study, our time together, everyone here will think of themselves as an energized believer whenever you hear about, see a commercial for the Energizer Bunny, that you will think of yourself as an energized believer, someone who keeps going and going and going and cannot be stopped because of your faith in Christ. That's our desire. That's our goal of our study, the goal of our study this morning. Now, if you will, if you're in Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14, not chapters 1 through 14, verses 1 through 14, to kind of get the setting, to reintroduce ourselves to what Paul is saying here in his introduction of this letter to the Colossian church. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We read here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on your behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we have heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so Paul, as he introduced this letter to the Colossians, he, after introducing himself to them in verses 1 and 2, speaks a word of prayer, or explains to them his prayer for them, his prayer of thanksgiving because they had heard and responded favorably to the gospel. And now in verses 9 through 12, about his prayer for them, that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's word and that they will be strengthened by that word. And so this morning, our study, and last week, or two, a couple weeks ago actually, we looked at the idea of them being filled with the knowledge of his will, and we saw how that was kind of introducing the gospel buffet that was our gospel meeting. And a number of you there were there for every service, and thank you so much for coming out for those services and being here as Bob brought us a real gospel buffet. And if you have not, if you were not here, or if you just want to go back and listen to them again, they are available online. They're on the website. It's on the bulletin on the back page. LRCOC.com is the website. Lilac Road Church of Christ. And go to the sermons tab, and under that tab you will find the audio sermons and links to the video at YouTube and Facebook. I recommend that series. He did an excellent job. It was a gospel buffet, and if you will watch or listen to that, you will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And so that's what Paul was talking about in the first part of his prayer on their behalf before them. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to jump past verse 10 to verse 11, where Paul explains and adds to that thought with a parallel thought of being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. These aren't two sequential ideas. He's not saying be filled and then walk worthy in verse 10 and then be strengthened in verse 11 and give thanks in verse 12. That's really not the process of thought that he is presenting to us. The thought that he's presenting to us is be filled so that you can walk worthy. And then he comes back to that be filled part again with some additional thought processing or thought processes. And that is be strengthened. So be filled and be strengthened are kind of parallel thoughts. And this is a common way Jewish writers would present messages from God. Look in Psalm chapter 19. Keep your marker there in Colossians, but look back to Psalm the 19th chapter. In Psalm 19, the psalmist there tells us two thoughts in two verses that are basically the same thing. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. Get to Psalm 19. So the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. So you have that one thought there. The heavens are telling about God. Verse 2, day by day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. And so you have the same thought being presented in kind of two different ways there. And this is common throughout the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. And so that's what Paul is doing here in verses 9 and 10, or verses 9 and 11, is two parallel thoughts. Be filled, be strengthened. And in the starting part of that is back in the beginning of verse 9, is to ask that you may be. Look in verse 9, we're back in Colossians. For this reason also, since the day we have heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge and strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So you see how the parallel works together to bring two separate thoughts that are not independent of each other, but are working together, synonymous in a way that they are teaching two different ideas that bring two different ways of saying the same thing, the same idea. Again, this is common throughout the Bible, especially in the Old, but as well in the New. Now let's look at this phrase here, this first part of verse 11. I want you to notice some things here. Notice how he emphasizes the idea of power. He talks about strengthening with all power, according to his glorious might. First you got the word strengthened, then power, and then might. Now you might think that because it's in three different words in English, it is three different words in Greek, but the first word there is actually strengthened, and power have the same root word, which is dunamis. Now, have you ever heard of somebody that's dynamic? That is a dynamo? You ever heard of dynamite? That's where we get those words, is from this Greek word, dunamis, or dynamos. And it's the idea of power or strength. By definition, it means, and so in a sense, he's talking here about a couple of things. Strengthen with power. Strengthen is the verb form of the word. That's the power being generated. And power is the noun form of the word. And so we could say it this way. Strengthen with all strength. Powered with all power. Energized with all energy. In fact, we'll see another passage similar to this in a moment where the word energy is used. It's energos, is the Greek word that we get our word energy from. And it's the idea of here of giving something that gives power or strength or might or activation to something. By definition, or let's another thing about dynamite. Let's talk about dynamite for a second. Dynamite is one of those things that comes in small packages, as they say. I know some people that have dynamite. They come in small packages. I'm looking at one of them, by the way. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But anyway, dynamite, but that dynamite is not useful until it explodes, when that power then is put to use. Now, of course, Paul's not wanting us to explode, but in a sense, he's wanting us to be put to use, and so he's wanting us to activate that energy that we have, that power that is within us, so that we can serve God. So he wants that power to be used, be useful. And by definition, it means power, might, strength. That's the definition of dynamite or dunamis in the word in the Greek. And by usage, it refers to physical power, force, might, ability, efficacy, or energy. Things that are active, things that are doing, things that are producing, making stuff happen. So think of it in terms of expended power. Again, the dynamite's not useful until it explodes. The battery, the Energizer battery, as long as it's sitting in the box, it's not doing anything. It's only useful when it's put into the Energizer body so it can act, so it can produce motion, make it go and go, as we say. And so there is the idea of this energy is being put to use. What Paul is asking for is that they will have energy that is being put to use. They will be accomplishing something. They will be doing something for the Lord. Now, the last word in this sentence is a different word, and that is the word kratos. And kratos is a word that means, it's just another word meaning dominion or absolute authority, complete strength, or inherent power. And it's used here of God's power because he has absolute dominion. He is the one with absolute power. He is the one that energizes everything, brings everything into existence. Later in Colossians, we'll see that God, by the power of Christ, holds everything together. And so we know that he is the energy that brings, that provides us the energy to act. He is the source of our power. God's glorious power is a source of energy that we use in our lives to accomplish his purpose, for us to receive his grace, which is that's his purpose, is that we receive his grace, and that we respond to him in grace, with grace. And so the power of God empowers us to be useful, to be practical, or be purposeful. That's what God's power does for us. Now you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, that sounds great. How do I gain access to God's power to keep going and going and going? All right, it's one thing to talk about that's where it comes from. The next question is, how do I get that? How do I receive that? Now, one often offered option is the miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that enables us to believe and obey. And we frequently refuted that idea in studies and in class and in sermons here. So I'm not going to belabor that point. Rather, there is an alternative understanding for the statement, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that does not require any kind of direct, miraculous action of the Holy Spirit on the human heart that overrides and supersedes our own free will. There is an alternative to that. The world wants to say this is the only way. The religious world wants to say that's the only way to interpret this. There is an alternative. And what is that? Well, notice again how this sentence is parallel to filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He's comparing and putting filled with knowledge with being strengthened with his power. There are two ways of saying the same thing. The way God works within us is through the knowledge of his will that empowers us or strengthens us to obey him and to submit to his will. They are complementary statements. Be filled and be strengthened are two different ways of describing how God makes it possible for believers to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, which is what we'll talk about next Sunday. Well, to shore this up, let's think for a moment about the twin passage over in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, we talked about how Ephesians and Colossians, in fact, Bob made that point, I really appreciated that. By the way, I just need to tell you, I had nothing to do with the selection of Bob's sermons. You know how much I talk a little bit about grace, and I talk about how the work of the Holy Spirit. I didn't call Bob and said, we need more lessons on that. And by the way, his lessons were great, wonderful, and I hope again that you'll go listen to that. But let's look at the twin passage in Ephesians. And he did this as well, and I appreciated this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, is a version of what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1. Let's read verses 15 through 20 of Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayer. Did you see that in Colossians chapter 1? Right, well, I want you to notice the comparison here between verse 9 of Colossians 1 and verses 17 and 18 of Ephesians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 9 says that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 17 says that the God of Ephesians 1 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So you see the very similar word there, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. You see very similar to what he said in Colossians 1, verse 9. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So he wants their eyes opened, the eyes of their heart. Their heart doesn't have an eye, so he's talking metaphorically here. He wants their spirit and their mind to be open to the will of God. So that, what? So that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So again, knowledge, information, knowledge of his will, all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know. So we will be informed, we will be aware, our minds will be able to conceive, to hear and comprehend and understand and apply the Word of God. That's what he's asking for them. Well, let's go on in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and see how it compares to verse 11 that we're looking at this morning. Verse 11 says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Verse 18 says this, of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20 say this. And, so you know what something's there, verse 18, and verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And so continuing this idea of this knowledge that they can have, what they can also know is they can be aware of the greatness of God's power that was demonstrated in the resurrection. And so what he's saying effectively is that we have the same power available to us that raised Jesus from the dead. And that power is revealed and made known to us and made possible it to work in us through the revelation of the gospel. We hear the word of God. It's the seed that's planted in our hearts. It gets in there. It springs roots. And it gets in there and it tears us apart. In the class of Romans this morning in chapter 12. Those are hard things to do. It's easy to read about them and talk about them. And what we like to do is argue about other passages that don't have so much to do with what we need to be doing. Because that tells us there's a lot for us to change. And the implication is that by having our minds transformed, Romans 12, verse 2, by the will of God, changed by the revelation of his will, we're enabled to do these things. That's where we get the power. That's where we get the strength. The revelation of God's word, the Bible, as it is taught to us, and as it speaks to us, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to us through that word, we become able have the power, the energy to serve God. And that's why worship and study and spending time in God's Word is so essential for us so that we can grow, so that we can become strong. Well, knowing that connection helps us understand how we gain access to God's power, how we can be energized by keep going by faith. But do you realize that that's a basic principle that applies in every aspect of life? Not just in religion. How many of you here are gym rats? Raise your hand. Is anybody in here a gym rat? All right. Is anybody raise your hand if you don't know what a gym rat is. All right, I'll tell you, you're looking at one. I love going to the gym and working out. I love playing basketball. I love lifting weights. I love spending time. I love the endorphin rush that comes from that. I lift weights at home now because I'm too cheap to go to join a gym. But you know how you work out? You know how you have the energy and the ability to go to the gym and work out and lift weights? Proper nutrition and proper exercise. You got to eat the right things and you got to exercise the right way. And that applies to us spiritually. And basically, this is kind of the basic point as we bring our lesson to conclusion, is the idea of proper nutrition and proper exercise. Well, what is proper nutrition? It's simple. For Christians, it's the Word of God. It's the Bible. It's sermons. It's discussions of God's Word where we dig into and consume God's Word. Let me ask you, let me just tell you this. If you're a gym rat, you know that you don't get, well, you know this anyway, even if you're not a gym rat. You know, you don't go to the gym and on the way stop and get a dozen donuts and a caramel macchiato and gulp all that down to go in the gym and hop on the treadmill. Because if you do, guess where all that's going to go back? It's not going to stay in if you work hard. So you know better than that. And you know that proper exercise means you're not going to go jump in, walk into the gym and grab a couple of 100-pound dumbbells and stop doing and start doing curls. You're going to tear your arms up if you can even get them off the ground. So you know you don't do that. And it's the same way for the Word of God. Proper nutrition is the Word of God. That's the first thing. We have to feed on the Word of God. Not the junk food of this world. Not the stuff of this world. How many of you listen to songs in the car? I was watching a TV show last night where a guy was driving around a cop and he has a cassette player in his car. And everybody laughs at him because he has a cassette player. How many of you have a CD player? Don't even have a CD player in the car anymore. One of our cars doesn't even have that. Right. Things have changed, but you listen to the radio. Maybe it's on your phone that you're playing downloaded songs, or you're playing some kind of iTunes or something like that. And you're filling your mind with the songs of this world. The songs of this world are junk. Okay? The books of this world are junk. The TV shows of this world are filled with junk. And junk food doesn't make healthy Christians. And so that's why we need to be very careful what we take in. The Word of God, there in Colossians chapter 1. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. This is in the verses we read earlier, verses 4 through 7. How did they become faithful? How did they come to love? How did they learn about the hope of salvation? The Word of God. Verse 4, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard the top 10 tunes? No. In the word and the truth of the gospel. In the word of truth, the gospel. Which has come to you as it has in all the world. Also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it, or heard it would be better, and understood the grace of God in truth. So that's where our feed, that's the nutrition that we take in to be strong spiritually. Chapter 3, verse 16, Apostle Paul talks about this, and it's parallel to a passage out of Ephesians as well. But notice what he says in verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So let God's word dwell in you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So that's why we sing the songs that we sing. There are spiritual songs that tell us about gospel things, that reveal the God's word to us. Many of the songs in our songbook are just passages of scripture taken out and put to music, so that we will be that we can hear that music and we can hear those words, and we take them into our minds and they become part of us. They shape how we think and how we feel, how we grow. So that's proper nutrition. And I just would add this. Use the internet to pull down sermons. Go to the Eastside where Bob preaches, the Eastside Church Christ website, or the Facebook page. Pull down and listen to the sermons or watch the sermons online. Find other good, solid gospel preachers and bring their stuff down. And I will warn you, be careful about bringing down and listening to denominational preachers, because they will be teaching stuff that's not true. And if you're not careful, they will influence you into thinking things that are not true. Well, let's talk about exercise a little bit. Let's wrap up here with a little bit of discussion about exercise. Proper exercise begins small and warms up. All right. Now, if any of you are going to start, and I'll be happy to work with you on how to go to the gym and work out, because I love doing it. But if you're going to go to the gym and work out, you don't walk into the gym and say, okay, I'm going to do 30 minutes on the treadmill at 7 miles an hour, and then go do 10 sets of squats at 150 pounds each. Now, some of you are like, well, I don't know. Doesn't mean anything to you.
Let's just put it this way.
You might not survive the 30 minutes on the treadmill. But if let's say you did, you survived the 30 minutes on the treadmill. You do one set of squats, you're going to be done. You're going to be done. Especially if you've never worked out before. And so the application to us spiritually is, if you haven't read your Bible recently, and you think, you know what, I need to start a Bible reading program. Don't pick up your Bible and go, all right, I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to read through the Bible, and I'm going to read through the Bible in 6 months. And I'm going to start in Genesis 1, verse 1, and I'm going to start reading. And that means you're going to divide it up into chapters, so you're going to read half of Genesis in one day. You're not going to make it. You're not going to succeed at that. And let's say you get through Genesis. You do Genesis. You get the first half in one day, the second half in one day. You do the first half of Exodus in the third day. On the fourth day, you're going to be done, because when you get into the description of the building of the tabernacle, your eyes are going to roll in the back of your head. You're going to be, I'm done. I've had enough of that. I can't do this. Don't approach it that way. Start small. We're studying Romans. We're in chapter 12. Read chapter 12. Couple times this week. Maybe once a day. Just chapter 12. There's a few short verses. Read it. They start small and grow. In 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter describes the growth process in a way that kind of indicates this idea of building or stacking as you get stronger and as you get better. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, all right, here's how you start to work out. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, that you're going to get busy, you're going to do it, you're going to focus and do it, in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sin. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. So that's the idea. You've got to find the energy to it. Keep doing it. To make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So you don't walk in on day one and just dump all these things in and take off. It doesn't work that way. It starts with a slow process. And you start small. And once you start small, you learn a couple of things. You learn this. You learn just practice saying yes to God and no to sin. That's a process. The temptations to sin, the things that you want to do that you think are more important than God, are not going to go away just because you're baptized into Christ. They're going to still be there saying, this is more important. And you've got to fight that. You've got to learn to say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not more important. This is. Serving God is more important. So practice saying yes to God and no to sin. And fight the temptation of inappropriate entertainment, social settings, evil companions. Put away those things. And the third thing is track your successes. At the risk of being stoned, make a checklist. Okay? Because we talk about religion is not a checklist thing. Well, make some checklists, because there's nothing wrong with checklists if they keep helping us keep on target. I don't have a checklist, but I can list for you every exercise I do, every weight every part of it. When I do my upper body exercise, when I do my lower body exercise, I can tell you exactly what I do in order. Because I've been doing it for so long now. And I know which ones work. And I know how much weight to use. Because I've been doing it. Same thing with Bible study. Do you have a checklist of things that you do? This is what you do every day. It doesn't necessarily have to be an actual written out checklist. It could be a little note on your phone, whatever it may be. All right, study Romans, read Romans 12. I need 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it takes. Read Romans 12. Pray. And keep track of the things that you succeed in. And keep track of the areas you fail. And when you fail, stand back and say, okay, I did not succeed here. I failed in this area. What did I do wrong? And how do I change that? How do I get better at this? It's a small process. It's a slow process. It starts small and it builds. It builds. And the next thing you know, you'll have a year-long Bible reading program and you'll be able to read through the Bible in 1 year. And you'll be able to sit down and say, you know what, we're studying Romans. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to take 2 days, I'm going to take 1 day, I'm going to read the entire book of Romans so that I'm familiar with the terms and the ideas that are being discussed here. Again, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. But you have to be diligent to practice these things and work at it. So start with simple, and if you're just getting started, start with the simple and the doable. Okay, just start with what's simple and doable, and do it. And be diligent to keep doing it. And then you'll grow and grow and find that you can do a lot more. Well, that's our thought sermon this morning on being spring. Go ahead and get your song books out. We're going to sing a song of invitation in just a moment. Song of invitation is number 283, There's a Great Day Coming. And there is a great day coming. And what we've got to be doing is working and preparing ourselves so that we are able to inherit and share in that eternal kingdom that God's bringing when He comes on that final day. That eternity with God that is available, that we can have access to now through Jesus Christ. So we ask this last question. This is up to you. This is the part you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. You have to decide, you know what? I like my donuts and caramel macchiato. I'm not going to eat protein bars and drink Gatorade. I'm not going to do that because I don't like the taste of those things. If you don't eat right, you're not going to feel right. If you don't exercise right, you're not going to feel right. Will. You can be right with God. And we're talking spiritual. We're not talking about physical. I don't care what you eat. That's up to you. All I care about is what you're feeding your soul and your mind. Growing a spirit that pursues God and seeks eternity with God. And the only way to do that is to eat right and exercise. We can help you this morning. Do what you need to do. Be right with God. Whatever it may be. Maybe it's to be baptized into Christ. We'll make sure that happens today. If that's what you need to do. Or maybe it's just decide, you know what? I am an exercise. And I've been eating the wrong stuff. And I need some help to get back on the right diet and the right exercise plan. If we can help you do that, please come. I'm always standing.